All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, please. It's good to have Dahlia's mom and dad with us today. And welcome. So glad to have you folks with us. You can tell Dahlia is their daughter because they smile, just smile. They're so happy. And Dahlia is too. It's just refreshing to see such happy folks as they are. So praise the Lord for that. They have to go back this afternoon, or go, not back, they're going to Philadelphia first and then back to Myrtle Beach. And I said, oh, just stay. And I said, you know, how could you leave those beautiful little girls? I told Dahlia's mother that if anything happens to Mark and Dahlia and they don't want those little girls, we'll take them. Karen and I'll take them. We'd be glad to have them. They are the sweetest little kids. All right, are you in John 14? All right, well, go to the very last verse. All right, the very last verse. Verse 31. And you follow along here as I read, and then I will tell you what I just read. All right. Verse 31, it says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. All right, now look at this next phrase. It says, arise, let us go hence. Now, you know what hence means? It basically means out. Let us go out. All right, let us leave. How's that? Let us go, let us leave. But now let me give you the background for this, all right? If you will look back at chapter 13, you're going to notice in verse 1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. All right? Unto the end. Now look at verse 2. And supper being ended. Supper being ended. All right? So we are the Passover dinner is over. Now, if you know that in chapter 13, the Lord is going to, in the first part of this chapter, he is going to wash the disciples' feet. All right? Now, you say, well, wouldn't that be a church ordinance? No. There is no record at all, none, in the book of Acts where the Lord's Supper, or where washing feet of others was practiced, all right? And beside that, I'm not washing anybody's feet. All right, case closed. You say, Jesus did. Yeah, he's Jesus. I'm not, all right? So I'm not washing, no. But the point being, that the Lord gathered the disciples around himself and taught them a very valuable lesson. And that very valuable lesson was that we need to have fellowship with him. We need to fellowship with him. That's the whole point. All right, you'll see in chapter 13 and verse 8, there's that little word part. And he said to Peter, and of course Peter would be the one to challenge it, wouldn't he? And Peter challenged Jesus, and Jesus said in verse 8, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And that word part is, it basically, if you contrast that with Luke 10 and Martha and Mary, you will see that the word part has the idea of fellowship. If I don't wash your feet, Peter, then you have no fellowship with me. You have you and I aren't tight. We aren't close. All right. So that takes place, and then there was the inference here of the Lord's Supper, starting in verse 18. There he talks about how that he that eateth bread with me, in verse 18, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his head against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am. I am. All right, does that ring a bell with anybody? You will know that I am the self-existing God. Amen. All right, Exodus 3. Lord, who, Moses said, Lord, who do I tell Pharaoh? Who do I tell Pharaoh has sent me? Who do I tell the children of Israel hath sent me? And the Lord said, you tell them I am. Not I was, or not even I will be. But I am one eternal God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. That's our God. All right. So the inference here is that the disciples were around the table, and he gave them the Lord's Supper. And then you have Judas in verse 26. Remember that? You have Judas and him betraying the Lord Jesus. And then in chapter 14, after the lesson that the Lord gave about loving one another, and in verse 34 and 35, and then he said, let not your heart be troubled, chapter 14, verse 1, all these great verses. He is talking with them about how he is the way, the truth, and the life, when Thomas questioned him in verse 6. And then you go down to, let's see, verse 15, and he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, keep my commandments. And then he said, if I go away, I'm going to give you another comforter. All right, remember all these verses? And it's all happening in the upper room. Everything is transpiring here while they are sitting around the table. What do you do at the table? You eat, of course, but you also fellowship. Exactly. You fellowship. And the Lord knows that he is about to leave. If you look at chapter 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Boy, they needed that encouragement, because things are about to dramatically change for all of them. All right? Look now at verse 31, and this is where I want to draw the message from this morning. He said in verse 31, down last phrase, arise. So they're in the upper room still when all this was going on. Okay? They've just had communion with the Lord Jesus. They had the Passover meal first, then communion, and then the challenges about loving one another, and another comforter is coming, et cetera, et cetera. And then he says at the end of the chapter, very last phrase, arise, let what? Us. go hence. Let us go hence. Do you see that? He didn't say, arise and you guys leave. No, the implication is, arise, you go, and I'm going with you. We're all going. You don't step out into the world alone. Let us go hence. Let us go out. All right, I want to speak to you this morning for about 3 hours on having the Savior with us. Having the Savior with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. And I pray you will bless this. Give us encouragement this morning. Lift our hearts and help us to look to you and trust you no matter what may come our way. And Father, we have all these wonderful promises that you give us. And I just ask now that you will bless your word and strengthen us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, when the Last Supper was over and the Lord Jesus had finished teaching the disciples around the table, you remember that Judas had already left, okay? He took off. He's going to betray the Lord Jesus. And, of course, the Lord Jesus knew that he was going to betray him. But the Lord, when he finished teaching and sharing with them all that he wanted them to hear about love and about peace and about his goodness and his mercy and his commandments and what the Father has done for him and is going to do for them, he then looked at the disciples after the Lord's table and said, arise, let us go hence. Now, it is upon those four words that I want to develop my message this morning. You might have thought that with all that has been going on throughout the day and throughout the evening, that the Lord Jesus might have wanted to be alone in that upper room. I mean, after the communion service, after that sweet time of fellowship where the Lord taught his disciples what the Lord's table was all about, you would think that he might want to just spend some time alone talking with his Heavenly Father. Maybe let the others go home. Maybe send them on their way. But you would think that the Lord Jesus might have just wanted to kind of hang back in the upper room, gather his thoughts, and pray to his Father. But no, he said what he needed to say, and then he told the disciples, arise, let us go hence. We have all had those moments when we just felt like we needed to be alone. Have you ever had those times? Sure, I have. I have those times where we didn't necessarily, not that we're antisocial or not that we are trying to make a statement or anything, but just had those moments when we wanted to be alone by ourselves, where we just simply did not want to others around us. And our hearts were so heavy, or our burdens were so strong, that we simply just wanted a little bit of downtime to maybe spend some time alone in prayer with our Father. And if this is true with us, how much more must it have been with the Lord Jesus when the sorrow of the world was upon his shoulders, when the burdens of the world were upon his heart? I could certainly see how he would have needed to be alone with God the Father. I mean, to be alone that he might speak with the Father about what was just minutes now away from happening. I mean, it's just minutes. In just a little while, the guards are going to come and arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane. All they have to do is just walk across that road that takes them down to the Kidron Valley, and then walk across and up to the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, it's only going to take just a few minutes to do that. And the Lord knows what's coming. And so you would think that maybe he just would like to be alone so that he could fellowship with God the Father. He knew the suffering. He knew the agony that was coming his way. You see, folks, the cross was always on his mind. The cross and what he would accomplish on that cross. He knew everything that was about to happen and knew that he was not going to stop it. He was not about to shrink from what was coming. But nonetheless, it seems to me that he should have wanted to maybe be alone, maybe just for a little bit. But that's not what happened. No, it very clearly tells us that the Lord Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Arise, let us go hence." You know, he could not leave them and have them go out alone. No, he had to go with them. He had to go with them. He knew that they were going to need him. He loved them far too deeply to forsake them. They might forsake him as soon they would, but there's no way that he was going to forsake them. When they left the table, he went with them. He went with them through the streets of Jerusalem, talking as he went, teaching as they went. And he walked with them across the Kidron Valley up to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would soon be arrested and taken to stand a trial before the Sanhedrin that night. Now, with that little bit of background, let me make some application that I trust will give you some encouragement and some comfort this morning. First of all, first thing I want you to notice is this. Christ does not send us out alone, but comes with us. He never sends us out alone, but he comes with us. Now that is an important little thing to remember, folks. And what was true 2,000 years ago on that Passover night, what was true then with the Lord Jesus and his disciples is just as true today. You see, our faith is rooted in the Bible conviction that our Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he was for the disciples 2,000 years ago, he still is for you and for me today. That's the Savior that we serve. And so, just think about it, folks. They were sitting there around the Lord's table. And, just think about it. That would not take very long, would it? I mean, we all have experienced that here. And somebody find this lady, ma'am, right? That's fine. Yeah, that's good. He doesn't bite. He used to, but we retrained him, okay? You see, sharing the Lord's table, well, that wouldn't take a lot of time. I mean, in just no time, that would be over. And then the Lord would look at them and say, arise and let us go hence. I mean, they gathered around the table in the upper room, and the Lord Jesus passed out the bread, and he passed around the cup, and explained to them what they were doing and why they were doing it, and the whole thing wouldn't have taken all that much time. What does it take? How much time does it take to observe the Lord's table? I mean, in here, we serve the Lord's table, and it's what? 15 minutes maybe, 16, 17 minutes at the most. Yeah, and so in a few minutes, it was over. And we're told in another gospel that after the communion was done, they sang a song, and then they left. And then in a few minutes, it's over. We sing a song, and then we leave this place that we love so dearly, our church. We say goodbye to our friends and then simply go to our homes. We leave here. We go home so we can get some rest and then start our week out, our work week out the next morning. But folks, here is what I want you to be assured of. When we get up and go out of this place, the Lord never says to a single one of us, just looks us in the eye and says, depart, go. No, that is never what he says. What he does say to every single one of us is this, arise, let us go hence. In other words, when we leave here, he goes with us. Oh, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. Folks, you never have to face life alone if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He will be there to comfort and to strengthen and to help you. You can be assured of that. The Lord Jesus does not send us out alone. Do you remember Hebrews 13:5? Of course you do. The Bible there says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I've heard folks say, if you're saved and then you sin, you got to get saved all over again. You're going to lose your salvation. If you sin, you're lost again. Really? I mean, in light of the Bible, you're going to say that? I would think twice about saying that or believing that. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, explain to me how you're going to get lost from someone who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, how are you going to get lost from that? You can't get lost from that promise. That promise is as valid as any promise that is in this book right here. And if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you will notice in Hebrews 13:5 that the Lord said those words. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You don't have to worry. I wonder if that's true. No, it's true. It's in the Bible. God cannot lie to you. What a promise that is. What a promise. So the Lord says, arise, let us go hence. Oh, it's so good to know that we have the Lord Jesus with us as one who is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And just because we cannot see with our literal eyes the Lord Jesus right now, or just because we cannot reach out like the disciples could, John said, and we have handled of the word of life, just because we can't take our hands and reach out and embrace him or grip his shoulders, just because we can't touch him, or just because we don't hear his audible voice speaking to us, yet, nonetheless, the fellowship that we can have with him now can be the most real thing in human life. Thank God for the opportunity we have to listen and to know the Lord goes with us. Now, think about this, folks. Are we not sometimes nearer to our own when they are away from us? Huh? You say, how so? They're in your heart. They're in your heart. My senior year of college, once removed, I was in Greenville, South Carolina, and Karen, my wife now, was in St. Albans, West Virginia. That's about almost 500 miles distance. We were apart, but yet we were so close. So close. My mother said, if you don't stay off that telephone, and we wrote letters. You remember those days? Now, we didn't use homing pigeons or anything like that. All right, a little more advanced than homing pigeons. But nonetheless, we wrote letters. And every day I would go to that post office box and turn that little dial and hit those numbers and open that thing up, and there was a letter. Wow. I mean, the world was blotted out. I did not care what everybody, if a bomb had dropped in the middle of the campus, I would have just kept walking with my head in that letter. Yeah. All right, now you're not supposed to ad lib down there. She's misbehaving, isn't she, David? Yes? That's yes. All right, I think there's some kind of ethics about that. Oh, we were separated, but truth is, we were as close as we had always been. That's, you know, that's the way love works, isn't it? And emphatically, folks, so it is with our Savior. As near and as close as you feel Him in this church service this morning, when you leave here in just a few minutes, please realize that your Savior goes with you. Was not Jesus sitting in the midst of His disciples? Judas had gone away. He went to betray the Lord before the Sanhedrin. But the Lord was right there in wonderful fellowship and in closeness to the remainder of the disciples. So when He said, arise, let us go hence, just know, dear friend, He goes with you. I don't know how many times through all the years that I have been saved and been reading this Bible, I don't know how many times I have just read over that verse and not stopped to think about what that little phrase said. But folks, He goes with us. Second thing I need you to see, I'm running out of time. Second thing, when Christ is with us, that's all we need. That's all we need. Arise, let us go hence. You know, when the Lord Jesus is with us, well, that's enough. I mean, what else do we need? If Christ is with us, there are many questions that we can just leave unanswered. We don't need to know. We got Him. We don't need to know the answer. I mean, don't you have a bunch of questions that you would like the answers to? I do. Why does evil seem to triumph in the world while those seeking to do right are constantly lambasted and demonized? Man, I got a ton of questions. I want to know a lot of things. But while I was studying for this message this week and preparing, look at chapter 16 and verse 4. I'd always wondered what this verse meant. Well, I think I know now. Look at 16:4. He's still talking to them. They're not in the upper room anymore. They're walking over to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's speaking these words. But look at verse 4. He said, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." In other words, I'm telling you things right now I haven't ever told you before. I haven't told you because you haven't needed them yet. But now you need them. And that's why I'm sharing these with you. All right, look at the rest of it. "And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." Now, folks, look here. The implication is, in just a little while, he's not going to be with them. All right? Back here at the beginning, he was with them. And so he didn't talk about all that stuff he's talking about over there. Why? They had him. Folks, when you have Jesus, what else do you need? But he is preparing them. Why? Because he knows he's leaving. So he says to them, "I'm telling you this now, and in a little while, on the other side of the cross, you are going to remember that I said these things to you. But I didn't tell you these things back here because you didn't need to know them back there. You didn't need them because you had me." Folks, if you've got Jesus, what else do you need? And just as it was with them, so it is with us. I mean, surely the Lord Jesus knows the answer to every question. But when we come to him, answering those mysteries is not his priority. What is his priority is the same with us as it was with the disciples. You see, since Christ goes with us when we leave the communion table, when we leave the house of God, when we leave our devotions and go out into the world in the morning, there are many questions that we can leave unanswered. I mean, why? Because just to know him is enough. Let me say it to you this way. Just to know him is to be happy not to know. You say, "Well, I don't know the answer." Well, who cares? One of these days you will know. "So I don't understand a whole lot." Well, you don't need to understand a whole lot right now. The day is coming when you will know. All right, that's the promise we have. Why did he make that promise? Because down here, we don't know, do we? There's so many things. But boy, one of these days, we're going to know even as we're known. And then lastly, very quickly, if Christ goes with us, then we have nothing to fear. You know, fear is a real emotion. And the whole world is fearful right now. I mean, the whole world is fearful. Imagine you're one of the disciples sitting at the communion table with him. You've been with him now for 3.5 years. And you look back at those 3.5 years, and what comes to mind to you? Well, I think if you're sitting around that table and you're listening and you look at him and you start reflecting backwards 3.5 years to the first day you met him, one of the things that impresses you the most is his resourcefulness. You say, "What do you mean, Pastor?" Well, what do you mean there, disciple? Well, here's what I mean. You never saw the Lord when he was flustered. Did you? Now remember, you're one of the disciples. You're sitting around the table. You never saw the Lord Jesus when he didn't have an answer. When the hypocrites came and tried to tie him in knots and twist him up, they were the ones that got tied into the knots and twisted up. I mean, it was so bad that they even looked at one another and said, "Don't ask him any more questions." Man, you can't out-argue this guy. I mean, your mind goes back and you see all the traps that were laid for him and the temptations that were hurled his way and the things that just came at him in an instant with amazing subtlety. But you remember, he was always equal for the task, wasn't he? Nothing tripped him up. Always equal to the challenge. He could fire off a parable on a moment's notice and silence his critics. A storm would rise out on the sea, not a problem. He just lifts his hand and the storm lays down like a little puppy. He puts his disciples in a boat, sends them across the sea. And in the middle of the night, a big storm comes and they, professional fishermen, are being tossed upon that sea like a rag doll, and they're afraid. And then Peter looks over and says, "Oh, there's a ghost." Well, it wasn't a ghost. It was, it was the Lord. Nothing he couldn't handle. Here's a man eaten alive with leprosy. No problem for the Lord. Here's a man with a withered hand. No problem for the Lord. I mean, there's nothing he couldn't take care of. All these disciples learned that they did not need to know all the answers to all of life's mysteries. All they needed to know was him, because they knew that there was never a crisis that might arise which was too big for him to handle. Oh, he could handle anything. There was no emergency that he could not meet. You see, they learned that he was God in the flesh. And folks, that's the same God that goes with you. Arise, let us go hence. And this is the same Jesus today that we serve. I'm telling you, folks, as he was then, so he is now. If he says, "Arise, let us go hence," then you can just be assured he's going to go with you. Let's go out of here. Let's go out into the dark world. Let's go out to the awaiting enemy. Let's go out and face the devil as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, what in the world do you have to fear if he goes with you? You have nothing to fear. Oh, let's learn to trust him, folks. Let's learn to trust him. Do you think that Jesus is less wonderful today than he was when he was here 2,000 years ago as he tabernacled in a human body? Do you think he's any less today? No. Not even remotely close. I assure you, Christian, he is just as strong. He is just as confident. He is just as able. He is just as willing to help us as he was to protect and help his own disciples when they got up from that communion table and went out. Let us go out. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and no one looking around for just a moment. I know a lot of folks are fearful today. I know a lot of folks are hurting today. I know a lot of folks are grieving today. I understand that. But folks, let's not lose sight of who we serve. Oh, let God draw you to Himself, would you? Let the Lord guide you. Let us arise and go hence. Us. He's going to go with you. Father in heaven, thank you for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless your word, give us strength, give us encouragement through what we have heard. And Father, for our folks who are under attack, I pray that you will put a hedge around each one. And Father, help us just to look to you and trust you for our every need. Give us courage. Give us resolve. And Father, may we realize that you made the promise. And if you made the promise, you're certainly going to uphold your promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How do you get lost from somebody who has said, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you? Wow. Thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.